Who's ready for summer?
Man, school got y'all tired tonight, huh? Has it been a rough week? Well, it's about to get better. Praise the Lord. Y'all ready for something better? Y'all ready for good things to start happening in your life? You ready for God to change your circumstances? I don't like staying in the junk, right? Let's not do that. Let's not allow our circumstance to change who we are and what we believe and how we behave. Amen? God has called us to be more than conquerors through Him. Amen? So we're going to get up on the inside, Tony. Praise the Lord. And we're going to have a good night tonight. Who's ready? Who's ready to have a good night in God's Word tonight? Come on, real life. Let's pray one more time. God, thank you for your Word. We love you tonight. We honor you. And we know that your Word is powerful. So God, anoint my lips, help me to speak your truth in love, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys so much. I am so excited about what God wants to do with our new series, Dream State. We are so proud of what you guys accomplished at District Fine Arts over the past few days. Man, we got merit award winners in the house. There are multiple people that are first place in the state of Georgia for the gift of God that is in you. And I am so proud of each and every one of us that participated. Can we give our real life family a round of applause for all the hard work, the effort, the practice, the dedication? Come on, we can do better than that. They worked really hard and did a phenomenal job. But tonight, I stole the name of one of the human videos, Dream State. I stole it because I thought it was awesome. And in my book, it was first place in the state of Georgia. Praise the Lord. And it's gonna do even better at Nationals at Houston. Can I get a witness? Praise the Lord. So Dream State is a series about vision for your life. You could tell in the graphic, man, you got to get creative. What is that? You got to get creative. Clay is a genius. Amen. Let's give Clay some love. Snaps for Clay. Love Clay. Dream State is a series about vision for your life. And I love it when people ask me how I'm doing. How you doing, Pastor? And I'm like, I'm living the dream, baby. Right? If you've asked me that before, there's times where I've said I'm living the dream, literally. And dreams are made up of vision. Like, dreams are made up of vision. We should be intentionally focused on our dreams so that we should always be evaluating the vision that we have for our lives. If you don't have vision, you're not living a dream. Amen? If our dreams are small enough to accomplish, then they're not big enough for God, real life. That was good. I'm going to say it one more time. If our dreams are small enough to actually accomplish, they're not big enough for our God. Amen? Vision is defined like this. Vision in the dictionary is the faculty or state of being able to see. Vision is an experience of seeing something supernatural. Hallelujah. Vision is a mental image of what the future could look like. Vision is what our Dream State series is all about. And the reality is this: God has a vision for your life, and the enemy of your soul wants to destroy it. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life that is abundant. Amen? There are so many different angles that we could talk about for the next few weeks when it comes to seeing, to vision, what you can see. Our vantage point or our perception, our worldview, can change the way that we view life as a whole. The way we see things makes a huge difference. Amen? The playoffs are going down. Who's watching the NBA playoffs? The referee has to position himself at the right angle to be able to see whether or not the player gets fouled. It's just a vantage point. Hopefully my basketball players can connect with that. The way we see things makes a huge difference, and we can have a lack of vision. Scripture says those who lack vision perish. And so we want to make sure that we have a clear vision as real-life student ministries. And we can also see how following the wrong vision can also cause similar results in brokenness and spiritual death. If we chase down the wrong dream, if we go down the wrong path, if we get passionate about the wrong things, man, it can lead us to destruction. Helen Keller said something very profound. She said that the only thing worse than being blind is having sight with no vision. The only thing worse than being blind, she was literally blind, and she said the only thing worse than being blind is to be able to see but not have any vision for your life. Life can be miserable when you have nothing tangible to live for. Amen? It's hard. When you got nothing to live for, man, when all you got is a test on Friday to live for, you're like, oh, come on, I got to get out of here, right? But tonight I want to take some time to help us see sometimes things are not always how they appear. Sometimes things are not always how they appear. If you're going through a rough time right now and you can't see yourself making it to the other side, I'm here to tell somebody God's not done with you yet, real life. If you're going through a circumstance that nobody knows about but you and it has been dealing with you for a long time and you don't see the other end, God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Many of us in the room have difficult things that we're facing, and there are issues that are not our fault even that we have to live with on a daily basis. But many times the circumstances that we're facing are not really what they seem. Many things aren't really what it looks like. Circumstances that we're facing are not what it seems. If you look in the rearview mirror of your car, it says objects in the mirror are closer than they appear, right? Y'all, who's driving, you see that often. But I've come to encourage somebody who's going through difficult times that the purpose behind your struggle is closer than it seems to appear, real life. Your breakthrough is closer than it seems to appear. Come on, somebody get excited. God wants you to see things not for how they are now, but for how they will be in the near future. He's called us to walk by faith and not by sight. He's called us to have vision for our lives. See, the cross wasn't what people thought it was. It did not appear. It wasn't how it appeared. The cross appeared to be the biggest disappointment to the disciples and a huge defeat for Jesus Christ. Someone who walked on water and healed the untouchable was being nailed to the cross. It didn't look like a good situation. Someone who claimed to be the Son of God was being beaten beyond recognition. It didn't appear to be a good thing, but things are not always how they appear. Man, the reality was the cross was the greatest victory the world has ever known, defeating death, sin, and the grave. The disciples gave up and left Jesus because they could not see what was really happening in the moment. It was an emotional defeat in the moment that would eventually become a supernatural victory for all of human history. Maybe, I'm here tonight to propose that maybe, just maybe, the emotional defeat that you walked in this room with tonight will become a catalyst for your supernatural victory. Maybe the thing that is bugging you tonight, that's getting you down, maybe that is actually going to be the thing that's going to give you the purpose for your life that you're looking for. Tonight, all of us are capable of incorrect perception. If we don't hold on to God's vision for our life, we will adopt things that Jesus never wants us to adopt. And we will see things in the wrong way. So tonight, vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. It's a cool, vision is so cool. Steve Jobs was a visionary, right? Most of you have an iPhone in your pocket or in your hand because of Steve Jobs having a vision. Mother Teresa was a visionary. Stephen Furtick is a current visionary for the church. Y'all like Elevation. Things are not always how they appear. It may not look good now, but God can make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm calling many of us in this room tonight to hold on because something is going to change if you will have the vision for it. Everything may seem to be falling apart, but guess what? God is not done with your situation yet. I'm praying that tonight God can enlighten the eyes of our understanding to the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. In all circumstances, God is in control, real life. Vision helps us see the invisible hand of God at work in every situation. Vision helps us to believe, Romans 8:28, that God is working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it doesn't matter what it looks like right now, God's got something in store for us. See, shifting your vision can completely change the direction of your life. If you look at something differently, it changes everything. If you determine to have a positive attitude when everything is falling apart, man, you will have joy like when everyone else is struggling. Shifting your vision can completely change. They say, have y'all heard the phrase, seeing is believing? Right? You've heard that phrase? But my Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, and faith is the substance of things not yet seen. We've got to hold on to God's plan. But we also have to realize that holding on to the wrong vision can hurt you, and it can hurt everyone else around you. So tonight we're going to look at a powerful scripture. It's in Acts chapter 9. It's a person named Saul. It's on the screen tonight. Verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who believed in Jesus Christ, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul was a gangster. Saul was mean. He hated Christians. Many times, Saul would have the people that he captured and put in prison executed. Guys, we can be passionate. This tells us tonight at Real Life, this tells us we can be passionate about something and still be passionately wrong. We can get vision for something and have a very inappropriate vision. Saul was a zealot. He believed Christianity had to be stopped at all costs. His vision was fixed on Judaism and putting a stop to anything else. He was willing to be a vicious murderer if that meant upholding his passion and vision for religion. He was passionate, but guys, he was passionately wrong. I don't know about you, but I have been passionately wrong about some things. There are some ex-girlfriends in my life, can I get a witness, where I looked back and I said, what was I thinking? What is my problem? The funny thing that happens is at youth camp, who's been to youth camp before? I know there's some ladies in here who have those youth camp crushes on some boys across the state of Georgia. When you spend like a concentrated amount of time with somebody, like a week, every day, all day, they start to get a lot more attractive than they really are. Can I be real with y'all? For all my Jamaica team folks, man, when we go to the beautiful island of Jamaica and you're there ministering the gospel of Jesus in paradise, and across the way is this pale, pasty white boy that is on our team, and you're like, wait a second, he cute. You can get vision for the wrong things, and it can take you in the wrong places. Can I get a witness tonight? Man, I just lost my place. That is crazy. But here's the deal. Saul had permission, going back to the Bible. Let's get back to the scripture. Hallelujah. Saul had permission, the scripture said, from the religious rulers of that day to do what he was doing. Can I tell somebody that we've got to learn that even if we have permission and affirmation from others, we can still be wrong? Even if you have the approval of other people, you can really be wrong in your vision. Just because others are affirming your passion for something doesn't mean you're right. Man, just because she's willing doesn't make it right to mess around sexually, young man. Just because she's open to doing that doesn't make it right. Just because your closest friends are giving you the right answers doesn't free you up to cheat on the upcoming exam. Just because it's acceptable, just because everybody else is doing it, just because everyone else is going to that part, it doesn't make it right. At Fine Arts, I got to share how I positioned myself to be close to Jubilee when we went to Master's Commission. I had to chase her because she was leaving me. She was like, I'm in love with Jesus. I'll see you. You want to come with me and Jesus? You can come, but I'm following Jesus, not you, because I don't see no ring. And so I went after her because I loved her and because I knew God had a vision for our future. And it was one of the hardest experiences of my life. I'll just be honest with you. Man, I was working my tail off, putting up with things I didn't want to put up with. And on top of it all, I couldn't even talk to Jubilee because of a no dating policy. And I had to see her across the room each and every day for 9.5 months. It was one of the hardest things I've ever experienced. And I wanted to quit. And to be completely honest, the vision that I had was failure. The vision that I could only see failure. I couldn't see anything else. In my mind, I had those mind games that all of us deal with on a regular basis. I can't do this. I'm done. This is not worth it, so I quit, God. I told God that. I verbalized it mentally and literally. More than once, I was so passionate about going home that I actually started packing my things to leave and make an 800-mile drive by myself. The worst thing I could have done was give up. And I'm here tonight to tell somebody the worst thing you can do is give up. All I saw was the pain of the process. I only saw how things appeared. I only saw the pain in the moment, and I was blind to everything else. I'd given up. Here's what had happened. The reality was, before going to master's commission, I tried 2 semesters of college, and I failed. I'd given up on college because I flunked out, and I literally was going to give up again because I couldn't see the vision that God had for my life. And through that experience and through other experiences in my own personal failure, man, I have learned that a person without vision for their future will always end up returning to their past. A person that doesn't have something to look forward to. Ladies, you got to look to graduation. You got to look to the future. You got to look to the destiny that God has placed on your life, because if all you do is look at right here and right now, you're going to give up on the inside. I had quit once already for college, so why don't I just quit again? I could not see the payoff of enduring, so God had to give me vision. And this is what happened. This is what frustrates us so much as young people, because here's what I want you to understand. We can't just try harder not to sin. Trying harder not to sin just gets you frustrated. We have to get a vision for what righteous living can do to our future. Because a person without vision for their future always ends up just returning to their past. So guess what? You don't have a vision for your righteousness. Man, you're going to go back to that addictive lifestyle. But here's what happened in the middle of master's commission. We're like 5 months through, and I am hating life and wanting to give up and give in. Man, one morning during prayer, I promise you, I'm not strange. I'm not weird. This does not happen to me on a regular basis. But, excuse me, I was tired. I was worn out, ready to go home, no matter what it might cost me. And I was praying, and I was telling God I'm done. And the next moment, I had a vision. I had a vision, literal vision for my life. And I was praying, and in that moment, I had this, like, it was so surreal. I could still vividly see it in my mind's eye. I had a first-person perspective. I was me. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. And in this vision, I was in this house. And all of a sudden, this house was, like, really beautifully lit. Like, it wasn't like lights, it was sunlight, because it was open concept, windows open everywhere, bright, sunny, like, oh, it's home, we're all home. Let everybody say, oh. And the next thing that happened in this vision, I'm not weird, I promise you, but this happened, God showed me this. This little boy that was just old enough to run, not old enough to talk, but old enough to run, ran up to me, looked up, smiled, oh, grabbed my leg with his little arms, gave me the biggest squeeze, and then in this vision, he gave me this look like, you better chase me. And he took off running down this hallway, and so I followed him just nonchalantly in my first-person view. It was pretty cool. And he turns the corner into this bedroom that has this bright light coming from the sunlight, and I turn the corner and look in the bedroom, and the next thing I see is him jumping up into the lap of this beautiful young lady. And basically, this young lady was base, and he was safe. I wasn't going to get him. And I looked, and in the moment, I saw Jubilee, and I knew that that was a vision of our son. We were not engaged. We were not married. We were not even talking at the moment. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. Man, but God gave me a vision. And that gave me the vision that I needed to fight through 4 more months of pain. And guys, I'm here tonight to say it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth the pain because guess what? 15 years later, we're married with 3 beautiful children. It was worth it. Things don't always seem as they appear. If you can have vision for your life, you can get through the current problems. Amen? Tonight, I believe God wants to give many of us a new vision that will keep us headed in the right direction with our lives, with our calling and our created purpose. And so the story goes on. Saul is attacking Christianity. And in verse 3, it says, as Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. See, I'm not the only weird guy. A light from heaven flashed, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I'm Jesus, the one whom you're persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless, and they heard the sound but didn't see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand. The man was blind as a bat. They led him by the hand to Damascus. How embarrassing is that? And get this, for 3 days, he was blind and did not eat. For 3 days, he didn't eat or drink anything. Guys, this was an incredible encounter where Jesus revealed himself to the self-proclaimed worst of all sinners. And Jesus wanted Saul to have a fresh vision. I believe he did this because Jesus knows that if we will live crazy for this world, we're capable of living radically for him. Jesus knows that if we are going to chase the wrong vision, we'll chase the right one too if we'll be given the second chance. Saul was knocked off his high horse. His vision was wrong. He didn't realize that the things are not always how they appear, and something drastic had to happen, or he would never see the truth. So God blinded him. It sounds harsh, right? Some of us in this room probably feel like we're living in the dark right now. We don't see a future. We feel isolated and we feel alone, blind to anything good that may happen in our future. But guys, Saul's story should help us realize before we can have a clear vision for our future, we must empty ourselves from our past. He saw things for how they were currently, but God wanted to remove that vision to give him a new one. Jesus knew that he created Saul for a purpose and that he was capable of accomplishing great things with his life, but Saul couldn't even see it. So God had to blind him, and that sounds cruel, but God blinding Saul was actually grace because he deserved much worse. You and I being in the dark in various seasons of our lives, man, that's grace at work in us. Some of us who are dealing with situations, you may think it's from the pit of hell, but I've come to say something really strange. Sometimes God puts you in those positions to help correct your vision. Sometimes Jesus will lead you into seasons where I can't even see what's next. He'll do this to correct our course. And like Saul, we can get off track and God will prevent us from seeing what's next so that our vision can actually be restored. That's uncomfortable. But our comfort doesn't matter in the grand scheme of life. Amen? Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. And Proverbs 18:24 says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So whatever Jesus wants to do in my life is actually for my benefit, even though it may hurt in the moment. What Jesus is guiding you through may not be comfortable, but our present discomfort is worth our future eternity. Come on, Teen Challenge. Your present discomfort is worth an eternity in paradise. God wants you to have a hope and a future. That's why he's doing what he's doing in your life. But here's the deal. The empty feeling of having no vision will be a motivation to obey the voice of God. That feeling, that discomfort becomes motivation to obey. Paul was blind and Jesus told him to go to Damascus. So you better believe he was motivated. I am doing exactly what that voice says. When hardship hits, it motivates us, real life. At least it should. Verse 10, it goes on. It says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him to a vision. See, there's multiple people God's given vision. I'm not weird. He said, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, that's hard to say, and ask for a man named Saul, because he's praying. Guess what? Saul. Saul was praying. Having no vision forced Saul to pray. Some of you need to realize when divorce comes up in a family meeting, you better believe it drives you to start praying. When you experience a stroke and it's hard to remember what's happened, man, it makes you think about your prayer life a little bit. When your blood sugar drops in the middle of the night and you don't know what to do in the moment, guess what the first thing you do is? You pray. Man, when a doctor diagnoses you or a loved one with something that is not comfortable, man, what's the first thing you do? You pick up the phone and say, hey, can you please pray? The story keeps going in verse 17. It says, then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. He was obedient to the vision. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight I am praying by the power of God. I believe that he has sent me to help somebody in this room open their eyes and see again and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to get through your circumstance. And the scripture says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Tonight, we need to recognize that a renewed vision gives Saul strength. Tonight, Jesus wants to give you and me strength. He wants to renew our vision. He wants to give us a new vision for our lives. Many of us feel like we're going in blind right now to what life is throwing at us. Everything is hard, and it's extremely difficult to see how anything good can come from the circumstances that are taking place right now. Maybe it's broken relationships. Maybe it's our families. Maybe it's our personal walk with the Lord. Many of us are questioning why God is allowing some of the pain and the suffering that we're experiencing into our lives. Some of us say those same mental mind games. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you putting me through this? I've come to help somebody see tonight that the only reason God brings you to your lowest is to build you back up again into the person that you were created to be. The only reason he allows the difficulty to bring you low is so that he can pick you back up and make you even better when it's all said and done. Amen? Just because things might be messed up right now does not mean God is done with your life. I've come to remind someone tonight that the call of God is irrevocable. That's what our scripture says. Your mistakes don't void your God-given destiny. Saul was a murderer. And Jesus used him to change the world. Your lack of vision and you trusting in the wrong vision does not void the greatness that God created you for. When Saul was blinded by Jesus, he was given specific instructions. He said, go to the city and someone will tell you what to do. Guys, we need to see that when Jesus allows things to fall apart in our lives, the only way to restore our vision is to trust what God says and obey. That's the only way. When we don't know what to think of our circumstance, the only option to regain vision is to trust. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. Man, things are not always how they seem. I'm going to invite the band to come as I close. Can we just say that really quick? Things aren't always how they seem. What you're going through can be changed if you'll believe it, if you'll have vision. Our first date was terrible. Jubilee and I had a terrible first date, y'all. We went to Stone Mountain, and it was Friday night. And this was the second kind of weird circumstance where I felt the Lord gave me a vision. And it was Friday night, and it was rainy. On the way home, we were driving in Spaghetti Junction. I don't know if you know that, but if you go to Atlanta, it's where all the interstates kind of intertwine, and it looks like a bowl of spaghetti from a helicopter. And I was in a Jeep Grand Cherokee Sport with bald tires, and I started fishtailing. And it wasn't that bad. But before I knew what was happening, I was out of control. And that's how it works. That's how we lose sight in our God-given vision. Little by little, at first, we get off just a little bit, but that leads us to be completely out of control with how we see things. And I was going, here's basically long story short, I was going head on to hit the wall. And we were elevated on the top of Spaghetti Junction, and I was going straight for the wall. And as I'm going straight for one wall, I turn to try to navigate and avoid hitting the wall. And the next thing I know, we're going straight for the other wall. And there was a point where I knew that there was no way I could get myself out of this. I was about to get in a wreck and kill this girl on my first date. It was terrible. And it was a split-second vision of sorts. I didn't hear an audible voice. There was not this flash of light like Saul had on the Damascus Road, but I knew Jesus was simply saying, let go. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, making this a holy moment, leaders, go ahead and come forward. I didn't know how I was going to regain control of this car, but I knew I had heard from God, and he said, let go. And when I let go of control, when I decided to say, God, I don't see how this can ever be good, but I'm going to trust that things are not always how they appear. When I gave up control because I had no other option, I let go, and God caused our car to go across every lane of traffic during Atlanta rush hour traffic on a Friday night, and the car stopped perfectly out of all lanes of traffic on the shoulder facing oncoming traffic. And Jubilee and I were completely and totally unharmed because I decided to follow God and be obedient. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the enemy of your soul wanted to take Saul out. The enemy of our soul wanted to take Jubilee and I out. And tonight, the enemy of your soul wants to take you out and steal your vision. But Jesus can give you a new vision for your life if you'll let go and see things from his perspective. He won't just give you a new vision, but he'll also give you a completely new identity. So tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in the room and you say, Pastor, I've done what Saul did. I've started chasing some things. I've had a vision, and now through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his word, I'm realizing that the vision that I've been chasing after is actually leading me to hell. And tonight, you're in this room tonight and you'd say, Pastor, I want to renew my mind. I want to get my life right. I want to get back on the path that God has for me. I don't want to chase the things of this world anymore. I want to chase after God because I know that he can prosper me, that he can get me through, that I'm alone in the struggle right now, but God can be my ever-present help in time of need. And so tonight, if you have been chasing the wrong things and you're far from the Lord, man, Saul was a murderer. He did despicable things. He literally spit in the face of Christianity and said, I hate you, Jesus. But Jesus reached down with the same love that he's reaching out to you with tonight and said, hey, let me give you a new purpose. Let me give you a new vision. Let me give you a new way to live. So if that's you tonight, all across this room with your head bowed and your eye closed, and you'd say, Pastor, I need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want to live for him tonight. Just lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, all across this room as a real life family, let's say it loudly and proudly. Dear Jesus, I am sorry. I lost sight. things weren't as they appeared. I chased things that really didn't help me. And now I'm broken. I've sinned against you, and I need to be forgiven. So tonight, I realign my vision. I look at the cross, and I thank you for paying the penalty that I deserve. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the high calling that you put on my life. I thank you that nothing can separate me from your love. And tonight I commit my heart and my life to you again. In Jesus' name.